Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and since everything relates to everything else, Sheena Iyengar was just telling us off the air after her segment that she's struck by the scene in The Hurt Locker where the soldier comes back to the United States, suddenly has the choice of dozens of different breakfast cereals in the store. You know that scene, and just shrugs and picks any one. So if you live in Brooklyn or elsewhere served by Cablevision, the dispute between ABC and Cablevision meant that you missed the first 15 minutes or so of last night's Oscar broadcast. That, I guess, is if you had your channel, your TV on Channel 7 watching The Black, hoping just in case, and were there right when it came back. So for your edification, you Cablevision subscribers out there, you unfortunate Cablevision subscribers, here is a little bit of what you missed. The best lines from the opening monologue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to introduce actor, writer, musician, Grammy and Emmy winner, one of the most enduring entertainers of all time, Mr. Steve Martin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And this is Alec Baldwin.
The biggest change this year, the Best Picture category has doubled. And when that was announced, all of us in Hollywood thought the same thing. What's 5 times 2?
There's Vera Farmiga, the co-star of Up in the Air. Yeah. Did I pronounce that right? Up
in the
air.
Yeah. Oh, and look, there's that damn Helen Mirren.
See, that's Dame Helen Mirren.
Ooh, sorry.
In Precious, Gabourey Sidibe is told she's worthless, nobody likes her, that she has no future. Hey, I'm with CAA too.
Hey. You know, Gabourey and I have something in common. In our first movies, we were both born a poor black child.
All right, Cablevision viewers, we're now all on the same page because that's about all you missed at the beginning of the show. The opening monologue really being an opening dialogue this year. Let's talk Oscars for a bit. David Hinckley of the Daily News is with us now. He was watching last night and wrote about it in his TV column in today's paper. Hey, David, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And I'm going to play my two favorite moments of people accepting their awards, and then I want to talk a little bit about Best Documentary, since we did a Best Documentary series last week with all five of the nominated directors. And then I thought there was a kind of a weird moment when The Cove won and something that happened on stage at that moment that I want to get your take on. But here, and listeners, we want to know if you had a favorite acceptance speech at the Oscars last night or anything else you want to say about the broadcast. Did you watch it? Did you like this particular coverage? Did you like the hosts? 212-433-WNYC. Get it in right now. Anything about the Oscar show last night? 212-433-9699. But a couple of issues that were raised, actually. I love this by Michael Giacchino accepting for best score for Up. Listen.
Thank you, guys. When I was 9 and I asked my dad, can I have your movie camera, that old wind-up 8mm camera that was in your drawer? And he goes, sure, take it. And I took it and I started making movies with it and I started being as creative as I could, and never once in my life did my parents ever say, what you're doing is a waste of time. Never. And I grew up, I had teachers, I had colleagues, I had people that I worked with all through my life who always told me what you're doing is not a waste of time. So that was normal to me, that it was okay to do that. I know there are kids out there that don't have that support system. So if you're out there and you're listening, listen to me. If you want to be creative, get out there and do it. It's not a waste of time. Do it. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
So, David Hinckley, Michael Giacchino undermining parental authority all over America.
Yes, absolutely. Telling, don't do what your parents say, kids.
I enjoyed that, though. I think he had a message there that people get a lot of contrary messaging to all the time, which is don't do anything creative because you'll never make a living at it. Don't even try. All right, the other one that I really liked was from Monique when she accepted for Best Supporting Actress for Precious, and listen to an excerpt of that we pulled.
First, I would like to thank the Academy for showing that it can be about the performance and not the politics. I want to thank Miss Hattie McDaniel for enduring all that she had to so that I would not have to. Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, because you touched it, the whole world saw it.
So I thought that was unusual, David. An actress actually getting up there and saying that her award proves that the Oscar can be about the performance and not the politics, dishing a little bit to the Academy?
Yes. Sort of intriguing, too, because, of course, there was no chance for her to put that in the full context of what she meant. So it left it in our imaginations, which, of course, is always more often more interesting than what actually might have gone on.
Was there a particular story about her movie that she was referring to that you know of?
I didn't know one, which was sort of made it intriguing to me. I sort of suspected in the general case she was suggesting that there was that a movie like that would not ordinarily be considered a serious major Oscar contender.
Right. And to Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, because you touched it, the whole world saw it. I guess along the same lines, they kind of made it an Oscar contender by giving it the star power to become a hit.
Yes, no question. And that's which was, obviously impressive on them, and as you said, impressive that Monique would make that point, use her time to make that point.
Your article today in the Daily News focused on all the things that were done to bring ratings for the broadcast back up, because Oscar viewership has been declining over the years. And you're right that ABC made the gamble that if we parade enough celebrities in expensive clothing, maybe viewers will tolerate the fact that we're also giving out awards. What did you mean exactly, and do you think it worked?
Well, I guess we find out the numbers today, whether it worked. I think ABC, like everyone who produces an awards show now, has this real problem, which is that people watch award shows primarily because they have a rooting interest in someone, in some of the contenders. And that, as we move to a less of a mainstream culture where we're more and more niched, where there's a movie can be very successful, but it's very successful with a fairly small group of people, then a large number of other people aren't going to watch because they don't care. So
I just like that they use so many clips these days, because I haven't seen all the movies in any given year, and for me it's nice to see the excerpts. I'm surprised a lot more people don't tune in for that, or maybe they do.
I agree with you. I suspect that's just a small enough part of it that people kind of get bogged down in the best sound editing documentary feature and the acceptance speech for that, and they think, okay.
Right. Who tunes in to hear best sound editing? All right. Claudia in North Bergen, you're on WNYC. Cablevision subscriber, right, Claudia?
Yes.
And did you have your TV?
I called Cablevision yesterday because I was very upset that I wasn't able to watch ABC throughout the whole day. Like, they have a lot of interesting talk shows in the morning, and I also wanted to watch the Oscars. I was ready to call them to really change my service. But, a friend called me about 8:15, told me that the Oscars were on. I also went online to watch the Oscars live, and it was not the same transmission that I was getting on TV and the Internet, because, I was trying since 8 o'clock. So I was disappointed, too, because the Cablevision announcement, it says if you want, you can watch it online.
Online. And then did they at least tell you promptly that you could go back to your television at 8:43?
No, they didn't. I knew because a friend called me.
How about that? Well, maybe, David, maybe there's another backstory. And Claudia, thank you. That the internet service provider or somebody wanted people to keep watching online rather than on television.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Vista in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You think you know the backstory to Monique?
Oh, yes, hello.
Hi.
I heard on other, I don't remember where, that the reason that she said that was because she didn't promote the movie enough. She didn't campaign for the Oscars as much as other actresses did, and she just refused to cooperate, specifically because she has a show on BET, and she was too busy doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the reason that she said, thank you for showing, thank you for acknowledging the performance, not the fact, that she was supposed to be out there campaigning and she refused.
Thank you for filling that in for us. And Charlotte in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about Kathryn Bigelow being the first female director to win an Oscar.
Go. Talk about it.
Well, I mean, I'm a female director. I actually go to graduate school at her, where she went to graduate school at Columbia. Uh-huh. And it's just an extremely exciting day.
Are you surprised, Charlotte, that the Academy resisted what seemed like an overwhelming tide of, I don't want to say pressure, but of sort of momentum to go for James Cameron for Avatar? I mean, anybody who won for Avatar, if you noticed last night, got up there and thanked James Cameron for being such a genius.
So is it surprising that she won Avatar?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that there's politics involved. So I think that the Academy probably had to make that choice. I mean, I don't really know how things go, but it would have been a little bit disappointing, I think, mm-hmm. With all of the hype if she hadn't have won.
Charlotte, thank you. And David Hinckley, one interesting moment for me and probably for our team and a lot of our listeners who heard our series last week with all the directors of the five nominees for Best Documentary, of course, the winner was The Cove, the one about the dolphins and Japan. And as they were cutting to the various nominees around the audience, pro-dolphin activist Rick Barry, who's profiled in the movie, tried to hold up a banner that said, "Text dolphin to 44144. But he sort of stumbled a bit, sort of dropped it. And by the time he held it up fully, it was on the screen for about a quarter of a second and nobody could see it.
Right.
So, I don't know. Any thoughts about him doing that?
He's not the first person, I guess, to use that that national television forum to try to get a point across. But I suspect that the Oscar people are very reluctant to let that kind of thing on. So, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that he tried to do it. I'm not surprised that they, as you say, had it on the screen for only a quarter of a second.
So, I think it would have been on a little more if he didn't fumble it in the lifting of it. So, for those of you who listened to our Best Documentary interviews last week and just want to know, because maybe you were into The Cove, Rick O'Barry was holding up a sign that said, "Text dolphin to 44144. David Hinckley, TV reviewer for The Daily News, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith produced this program. Our help wanted editor is Annie Schreffler. We had intern help today from Matthew Gurry, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.